Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and I guess we'll just kind of roll things out. You want to call into the podcast? 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you know, anytime you feel like rolling on over there, you can catch up with what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can also hunt me down on Twitter if you'd like to look me up. I am at Burketime. That's Burketime. Oh, hey, you know, I'm trying to do two things at once. I've actually been relatively successful so far. Let's see if I can keep it going. But, all right, well, what is going on? Well, you know, I guess there's quite a bit of fun stuff. So let's roll into what I would call is something I have to file under the stupidity section. Now, luckily, as of late, I haven't had to deal with too much of this, but you know, there's always the opportunity where you're gonna run into one sooner or later. And I was lucky enough to run into one yesterday when I was watching some of the wrap-up stuff with Major League Baseball. They had the Miami Marlin highlights come on, and now, you know, the Marlins are doing much better than anybody expected. They're fun to talk about. It's like, okay, you know, let's see what's going on with the Marlins and all that other wonderful stuff. But for some reason, and this guy has a knack for doing this, I get that he's a studio host, so he's trying to come up with a topic or, you know, give – you know, the analyst something to talk about. But, you know, for whatever reason, Greg Amsinger comes up with the stupidest things, and I just don't get it. And yesterday was one of them. He actually was curious to know, since the Marlins are technically contending, if they were going to go out and make a big trade. Because the trade deadline is like the 31st or something like that with this odd season. You know, everything is kind of right around the corner. And it was just kind of like, you expect the Miami Marlins, who are really still at the start of their rebuild, to go out and move a couple of their guys they're planning on rebuilding with for some veteran guys to try to contend in a year that, let's face it, really just doesn't matter. You know, obviously somebody's going to get to say that they're World Series champions, but again, it's going to be a hollow championship no matter who wins it. Yeah, you know, that's just how it's going to be. So it's, you know, it's kind of stupid. You know, the season is kind of stupid as it is. And, yeah, it's just, you know, ridiculous, you know, for this guy to think, okay, well, you know, we're going to go for it all in 1 year because we seem to kind of be here in 1 year. I'm going to run out and waste all these guys I've been trading for and, you know, selling off my veteran guys for 1 year. Now, I get it if you're the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Astros or the Cubs, or you're one of these teams you look at and be like, oh yeah, okay, well this is it. We need to, you know, we need to take a shot here and go get whatever we need to get it done. The Marlins aren't that team. You know, I mean, when it comes around to next year, the Dodgers and the Yankees and, you know, those other teams will probably be contending again. Will the Marlins, are we seeing the Marlins, they just developed into long-term contenders and nobody noticed it? Is that what happened? You know, and again, I get it. You know, you're supposed to, you know, come up with discussion topics when you're sitting there in the studio and it's been a long day and, you know, you need to run these things out there. But really, do they have to be moronic topics? You couldn't have came up with something better? You know, as it just kind of, you know, as it kind of rolls along, this was the best that you could come up with was, are the Marlins going to make a big trade? Yeah. I don't get it. And again, I mean, you know, this guy's been a moron multiple number of times on television, so I should expect it. But yeah, it was just kind of like, really, this is what they gave you to talk about, was the Marlins as the team that's going to make the big trade. You know, and it was just, it's like, please, you know, how do I shut this guy up? And then of course, you know, the analyst has got to talk about it because he was asked the stupid question. So now obviously he has to answer it. So now we continue on this just dumb topic when, you know, there had to be something else to talk about. You know, tell me about the White Sox hitting 4 home runs in a row, because, you know, it's only happened 10 times in baseball history. But no, I want to talk about the Marlins, who are 9-6 and lost their last couple games. And technically they are in first place still, you know, winning percentage wise, but, you know, do we honestly expect them to stay there? You know, I mean, is everybody buying their Marlin playoff tickets that, you know, and I don't know about that. You know, did I miss that one? So, yeah, it was just really frustrating. You know, I did end up turning it off rather quickly because it just annoyed me. And, you know, that kind of stuff drives me crazy. So, but all right, well, let's take a, you know, while we're on baseball here a little bit, let's take a look at today's action. Now, we do have one game that just got started. The St. Louis Cardinals are taking on the Chicago Cubs. It's Wang Hugh Kim against Kyle Hendricks in that game. That's game one of the doubleheader. We also have the Toronto Blue Jays at the Baltimore Orioles. It's Hyun-Jin Ryu and Alex Cobb making the starts there. We got the Boston Red Sox at the New York Yankees. That game that's the MLB Network showcase game, because even when the Red Sox suck, you got to show every Yankee Red Sox game on some kind of national television. I believe that's a law here in the United States. We got Martin Perez and Jordan Montgomery making the starts in those games. If you have the Mickey Mouse Network Plus section, you can get the Washington Nationals at the Atlanta Braves. Anibal Sanchez and Tuki Toussaint make the starts there. The New York Mets are at the first place Miami Marlins. Robert Gesselman and Jordan Yamamoto are the starting pitchers in that game. The Detroit Tigers are at the Chicago White Sox. It's Matthew Boyd and Gio Gonzalez as the listed starters. The Kansas City Royals are at the Minnesota Twins. Chris, I believe this is Bubik is how they're pronouncing it, and Matt Whistler get the starts there. Game two, this time it's the Chicago Cubs at the St. Louis Cardinals. So even though the game is in Wrigley Field, the Cardinals will be the whole home team. Tyson Miller was called up to make the start for the Cubs while the Cardinals are starting undecided. Yes, that's a big start for undecided. We'll have to see how he does. The FS1 game of the night has the San Diego Padres at the Texas Rangers. Zach Davies and Jordan Lyles are the starting pitchers there. The Colorado Rockies are at the Houston Astros. We got Kyle Freeland and Brandon Bielik as the listed starters. The Oakland A's are at the Arizona Diamondbacks. It's Chris Bassitt and Zach Gallen getting the start. The San Francisco Giants are at the Los Angeles Angels. It's Tyler Anderson and Griffin Canning as the listed starters. And the night wraps up with the Seattle Mariners at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Justin Dunn and Ross Stripling are your listed starters for those games. So there you go. If you want to jump on and catch a game, there's your list of who's doing the starting. So you're all set and locked up. And I was quite surprised going over some of the fantasy stuff going in today that there are a lot of fantasy people who like Zach Gallen as a starter today, but it's hard to run a starting pitcher out there against the A's. They're 16-6, and they now have the best record in Major League Baseball. Where the Diamondbacks are, they're 500, and I know they've been playing a little better. They've won four in a row, but I just wasn't really comfortable with Zach Gallen going up against that A's lineup. So I went a different route. I think I ended up with Hyunjin Ryu going against the Orioles tonight, but I'll be interested to see how Gallen pitches, and if they were right, because that's one of those things with fantasy. I mean, these guys get paid to do it for a living. I'm just a schmuck who actually happened to have a pretty good weekend for a change. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't know, Dan. Were you comfortable with a Zach Gallen against the best team in baseball?
Not really. I guess I didn't realize. I haven't been checking the standings. I was going to do, this season, a thing with my hats every day of the week with the standings, but the wall display I have only has enough for one league at a time, one league at a time, so it got annoying trying to do that. So, and then, I don't know. I guess I just can't really get into it as much. I try to follow and watch, but I'm like, I don't know if it's because the season started so late. I don't think it's a viable season. I just can't really fully get into this season for some reason. But, needless to say, kind of when you said Oakland sitting at the top with 16-6 record, kind of threw me off. Like, I just didn't realize they were playing that well. But at the same time, this is one of those situations with Oakland. When Oakland gets hot, I mean, this is kind of where we would be. They seem to kind of come out of nowhere towards the end of the season and make a run for it. Or they always have that run, somewhere, after All-Star break, towards the end of the season, where they're pretty unstoppable. And I wonder if they're able to kind of keep that going through the next month and maybe take that division. Because, let's be honest, I think one of the most disappointing divisions in baseball, and you can't really say the AL Central because it is what it is. But when you go to the West, Houston and the Angels, you would expect to be battling it out for 1 and 2, and they're not even there. Houston's in second place, but with the talent that the Angels have and what do we call him? The guru manager? I don't know what kind of title to give him, but they should be doing a lot more than what they're doing now with what they have now and what they've had. So I don't know. Picking up a youngin and maybe without a whole lot of notoriety going up against Oakland, I don't know how well it does for you.
Yeah, and to be fair, the AL Central isn't doing all that bad. They have two teams over 500, and the Sox are at 500. The Tigers are only a game under 500. And, all of a sudden the Royals started to play better. They're actually only four games under 500. So,
which that one was kind of surprising.
There are a lot worse divisions out there than the Central. Specifically the other Central division really sucks. You know, except the Cubs made the Brewers look like World Series champions, but that's a, you know, that's another topic for later on.
Yeah, well, I guess I meant with Central, you know, they're definitely looking better, the AL, than they have in the past. I mean, they've been pretty disappointing over the last couple of years. You know, I know the Sox are still building.
Yeah, it's tough when you got three teams in your division that are rebuilding at the same time. So, yeah, you know, that's really going to kind of, you know, kind of weigh down your division. But, you know, fortunately for a lot of those teams, it slowly looks like they're tuning around a little bit. I mean, I don't think we're going to see any of those three teams in the World Series, you know, really anytime soon, you know, maybe a couple of years down the road. But I would be surprised if, you know, it's not 2023 or 24 before they're serious contenders. You know, who knows? I mean, you know, such weird things happen in baseball. You just never, you know, you just never know how it goes. So, but I did find this interesting while you brought up the AL Central here. You know, the Indians actually, I believe they just swept the Twins over the weekend. Which I found, you know, pretty interesting, because apparently on Friday they had a team meeting, and as the term they used here, I feel like an old man with this one, apparently teammates scolded Mike Clevinger and Zach Plesac. They broke protocol. And Oliver Perez, who is a veteran, you know, I think he's 40 years old. He's been pitching for, you know, it got to be coming up on 20 years in the leagues, actually told the team that he would opt out of the remainder of the season if Clevinger and Plesac were put back on the active roster. Apparently, Francisco Lindor, who is looked at as the team leader, was quite outspoken during this meeting. Now, in the end, the team did assign Clevinger and Plesac to their alternative training site, even though Clevinger has some of the best stats in Major League Baseball as a starter.
Yeah.
You know, Dan, I fully agree with what the Indians did. You know, I believe they made the right move by sending them down. I guess the question, though, Dan, is how long do they pay the price? When do they get to come back?
Depends. I mean, when Oliver starts slipping and not giving you results in the bullpen. I don't know if it was highlights or I was watching a game this weekend. Seeing him on the mound, I was like, man, this was a guy that I had on a video game team, and he was old back in 2009 or 10. So I didn't even know he was still in the majors, you know, to begin with. But, you know, I think that's one of them. But, you know, with the way the season is, I don't know. I think with this year, you just kind of almost stuck to letting them ride it out in the minor league or alternate site until the end of the season and reevaluate at the end of the year. But, you know, it's just how serious do you take this? The playoffs this year, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Cleveland is looking like a playoff team. You know, and like, I don't think they have to stay down there for the remainder of the season. You know, they have to find a way to build some trust. And, you know, I think especially a guy like Clevinger, who, you know, really flat out lied to the team, got on the team plane and put the rest of his teammates in jeopardy. You know, like if I was a guy like Carlos Carrasco, remember he missed a lot of the season last year because he was being treated for leukemia. I would be ready to kill this guy, you know, because obviously Carrasco falls into that, you know, higher risk bracket, you know, with the, you know, the leukemia recovery. And I don't even know how to look at that. I mean, you know, how does Clevinger look at a guy like that in the eye and, you know, even saying you're sorry isn't enough. So, you know, that would be kind of a tough one to get over, but, you know, they're going to have to figure it out because you're looking at two talented pitchers that, you know, you're not just going to dump these guys. You're not just going to throw them in a trade and be like, okay, let's get rid of these guys. They're too talented for that. It's just kind of figuring out what the price is to pay and when they've paid it, you know, and how much the playoffs mean to you this year.
Yeah, and I think the term you were looking for was, were they going to Addison Russell them or not?
Right. So, well, you know, and the Cubs couldn't even dump Addison Russell on anybody. They just ended up, you know, letting him go. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, you know, this could be a bad situation for a team that, you know, good pitching wins in the playoffs. We saw it with the Nationals last year. You know, you need guys like Clevinger and Plesac available if you're going to have a shot at winning whatever the, you know, it's going to be called the World Series, but whatever the hell you want to call it this year. So I don't know. It's a weird spot. I guess I'm glad I don't have to make a decision.
Yeah, and it's got to be a tough decision for the front office to make, but I think it's a lot different though when you've got the players involved. You know, it's not just a matter of, well, you know, now I can't even think who the commissioner is now. I was going to say every name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say Adam Silver. This is where you come in.
Rob Manfred.
There we go. You know, it's not like it's something that Manfred came to the team and suggested, or, you know, the owners came down on the players. You know, this is something that came from the players. So like you said, how long do these guys get punished, so to speak? I mean, isn't this something that the front office is going to have to revisit with the team again in maybe 2 or 3 weeks? You know, because like you said, how long do you punish these guys, but at the same time, you have to kind of go back to the players that wanted this to happen and confirm with them before you just say, hey, come on, guys, you're back on the roster. Because, you know, there's that part of it. Like you said, a guy like Carrasco who could possibly die if he contracts this. And, no, we don't know that, of course. And, you know, this becomes almost like the situation. Well, yeah, and this is totally different, and don't think I'm trying to compare. But, you know, the ripping that Drew Brees has received for his support of police or, you know, and standing during the national anthem. And don't get me wrong, this is not what I'm just trying to say is, you know, he's had to come out and make these statements, and he was one that's on the top of my head, so that's why I brought him up. But, you know, in this situation, this is your direct, you know, coworkers, so to speak. So you don't get this one shot or two times to, you know, go on TV and make a press conference or a statement, you know, and then your PR people will kind of help smooth the rest of it over. No, you've got to make these statements, and not only do you have to make them believable, but you've got to make your teammates believe you, your coworkers, and build that trust again. And that's my, you know, my point when I bring up the Drew Brees things is it's not just a matter of a guy can go out there and make a statement and then everything's okay or not okay. You know what I mean? But with this situation, Plesac and Clevinger have to, they can't make a statement because a statement's not going to do anything for them. They have to plead with their player, their teammates, their coworkers to trust them again. And it's almost ask for their forgiveness. Or I don't want to say almost. You're asking for their forgiveness. So, and how many of these guys are willing to take that? Because you kind of screwed with everything. You almost took the season away from everybody, and you almost infected everybody because you felt like doing what you wanted to do.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the big issue. And I was incorrect. It was the Detroit Tigers, the Indians swept over the weekend, not the Twins. So, but, yeah, you know, and I know you and I talked a little bit about it on Thursday. You know, Plesac put out a video on his Instagram while he was driving back from Chicago to Cleveland because he didn't like being portrayed as a villain. You know, which again, which I mean, I don't think he's a villain. I just think he was stupid. But apparently his teammate, that bothered quite a few of his teammates. So I found that kind of interesting that they, you know, they weren't kind of on his side with that. And I, you know, I watched the video, but it was Thursday and I don't remember what the hell it said because, you know, like I've mentioned a couple times, I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch today if you asked me. So there's no way in hell I'm going to remember what I saw on a video on Thursday. But, yeah, it just kind of, you know, it's a little different because, you know, normally in these kind of cases, you know, players support their teammates. But, you know, this is obviously a completely different situation. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see these guys kind of say, hey, no, you guys were wrong. You know, and you need to find a way to make up for it. I know, I believe they have to, since they were opted down, I believe they have to stay for 10 days. Neither is tested positive for COVID-19, so obviously that's a great thing. Yeah, I guess, what, after the 10-day mark, you revisit it with the team and see how they feel?
Yeah, you know, like you said, you're surprised that everyone didn't come out and, you know, normally in a situation they get support. But this is one of those where I feel like it's almost falling on deaf ears. You know, how you're being portrayed or not, I don't think anyone of your teammates really gives a crap. You know, because you did what you did. You didn't think about anybody but yourself. And, you know, while you're out there pleading to the media and how you're being portrayed, shouldn't you be more concerned with your teammates and what they think of you?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, you know, driving in the car like that, he probably didn't, what else, you know, he probably didn't even think of that. And, you know, that apparently seems to be these two guys' problems is they just didn't think. You know, that's all it really kind of boils down to is the fact that, you know, they, you know, and you said it perfectly, they didn't care about anybody else but themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, it just kind of worked that way, or you know, however it kind of went down. But it you know, it'll be interesting to see because it's a contender, you know, who has to make a decision on two guys that could help them.
Mm-hmm.
So we will. We will have to see. And I saw that the Cubs already found a way to get behind in today's game, which I guess isn't too big of a surprise considering the embarrassment they were over the weekend against the Brewers. Dan, what happened? You know, I mean, this team was playing like the best team in baseball. And again, you know, we're in a situation where they should have ran away with this division. And the first thing they do is let a team back in. What is it that this team doesn't have the killer instinct necessary to win? Is it just, you know, they have kind of that laissez-faire attitude where nothing matters? Is that what it is, that they can't, like, you know, step on another team when they're down and just put them away?
Well, then, you know, Theo thought by getting one of their old players from the bullpen that would help. No, sorry, I just had to do it. But that's, you know, I'm not trying to knock Theo on this one. I think part of the issue is, and, you know, Rizzo came out and said it. I don't remember. I can't put a quote or, you know, a date on it. but that there is a huge amount of uncertainty in the locker room. You know, I mean, how much of it are you really into this season to begin with? You know, being a shortened season and what's going on. You know, some of this team is filled with a lot of youth, and you know, their generation is one that's being, you know, kind of in the demographic with the villainization of, you know, spreading COVID, which, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to stop it, just like you don't stop spreading colds or the flu. It's just they don't have, you know, apparently they don't have any kind of information on it, so it kind of tells me it can't be naturally occurring. Can I, whatever. I'm not going to go there with my foil hat. But you know, I think that's part of it. There's an uncertainty in the locker room. And, you know, Rizzo came out and said he doesn't even know if he's still going to be on this team next year. You know, we all know, you know, Chicago media, you know, even Cub fan media guys do not, or I think, what would you say, if by even just listening to a little bit of it, I feel like they're on a 95% that Brian's going to be gone. I don't think you can find anyone in Chicago that's a Cubs fan that doesn't think that. Of course, they don't want it, but it's going to happen. You know, I think there's that's the biggest part of it. You know, who's going to be on this team? You know, the only guy that we can really pinpoint that I think will be on this team, and again, this is a thinking thing, is Javi Baez. And then you add that to it, and okay, so the National League has the DH, finally. After all this talk since the Alfonso Soriano days, you know, the biggest reason you held on to one guy was for the possibility of having the DH. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry, Big Jack. He may have gotten a nice double and came back and to help the Cubs win the World Series, but at the end of his contract with the Cubs, I don't know where you're going to be placing Kyle Schwarber. I don't think he's going to fully hit that word bust, but he's definitely not hitting bases. You know, the other day, Mike Trout's home run numbers were at like 15, right? Shouldn't Kyle Schwarber be there? But he's sitting at 3 home runs.
Yeah, you know, the worrying about who's on the team next year is a complete BS excuse, because that's absolutely nothing a player needs to worry about. What a player needs to worry about is why you were 12-3 coming into a series and you left 12-6 against a team that you were better than. So I don't care who's on the team next year. You know, I'm sorry your best friend has an agent who's going to get him run out of town. Not only the fact that your best friend isn't hitting, you know, if he was playing better, there would be a whole lot of backing behind getting the Cubs to sign him and keep him. But as of right now, he's this year's Starlin Castro, and everybody wants him run, because every email I get from Sean Burkstu always talks about, well, Chris Bryant choked again. Oh, yeah, did you see that Chris Bryant is that? You know, this is just where we are with Chris Bryant. You know, and that's pretty much why he's going to end up out of town. He's hitting .182. So, obviously, the performance isn't there. He seems to get these nagging little injuries that just don't go away. You know, this year it's a finger. And I'm sure it's affecting his hitting, but he never really uses it as an excuse until the end of the season. Remember, at the end of last season, when it was finally all said and done, they started talking about how he was playing with a bad shoulder or a bad wrist or something, you know, that affected his numbers. And now this year it's a finger, you know, so now the guy can't stay healthy, but he plays hurt and it doesn't help the team. You know, unfortunately, the team around him is anywhere close to what you would call clutch. They choke and melt down at the slightest bit of pressure. And in reality, the bullpen is a joke. You know, you gave Craig Kimbrel a lot of money. you know, you were the jackasses who gave him the 4 years and a whole bunch of money behind it that nobody else was willing to give him. There's a reason why all those other teams didn't want to pay him. Maybe they had an idea that his ERA might be 13.5 and he would struggle getting people out as his career went on. But he's a former Red Sox, and Theo loves those guys. So, you know, it's somebody else's money, so go ahead and spend it. Who gives a crap if he can't help the team? And obviously, he ain't helping the team.
But I can't go big-time free agents because they won't give me the money.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, remember, when he was on the free agent market, he wanted 4 years at $60 million, and everybody laughed at him, and nobody touched him. And then the Cubs got desperate last year, so they signed him. And, I mean, he was okay last year. I mean, he wasn't the Craig Kimbrel from before. But, you know, then he got hurt. So, you know, they were like, oh, well, you know, he was pitching injured because everybody, you know, everybody's a warrior and they go out there and play hurt. I don't know what their excuse is going to be for this year. But, I mean, he's freaking Carlos Marmol at this point. You know, he just doesn't have it. And, you know, I knew it was bad when in the loss, I can't remember if it was yesterday or Saturday, the jackass announcers on television made sure to point out that Kimbrel worked a 1-2-3 inning. I was like, oh, okay, so we're at that point now where you have to mention that, oh, yeah, by the way, we're getting our asses handed to us this weekend, but Craig Kimbrel worked a 1-2-3 inning, so we have that to look forward to. Like, yeah, great.
Huh. Well, Big Jack, doesn't he have, well, I guess, they have to work? The 1-2-3 inning? Like,
yeah, well, he had to work them, you know, he's made 6 appearances. He had to work them 5 appearances ago, you know, is when he had to work them. You know, and the fact that you have to point it out to us, that he actually did that, just makes it even worse, because that's to be expected of a pitcher of Kimbrel's quality. You know, that would be like me telling you that John Lester made a start. Well, what else does John Lester do?
Yeah.
You know, did you expect him to hit cleanup, go 4-for-4 and hit cleanup? No, you expected him to be the starting pitcher.
Well, you know, and here's something that's interesting, and maybe interesting or not, whatever, however you want to put it. So, according to his contract, and I wonder how this is going to play out, and we'll find out after, you know, towards the end of next season. According to his contract, 2022 is the option year, $16 million team option with or $1 million buyout option guaranteed with 110 games finished total in 20 and 21. But here's, I don't know if this is, you know, kind of will save him next year, but he has to have 55 games finished in 21. So I don't know how it's, you know, he's obviously not going to hit 55 finished games this year. And he has to stay healthy. So his $1 million buyout can, you know, be increased by $1 million, I think only for 2021. If he hits 53 games finished, you know, the way I'm looking at it, there's, even if we had a full season and he were to stay healthy, you know, 2019, well, I guess he didn't really play, so like 17 games finished. I don't see him hitting that, and I think hopefully he can pick up a little bit in order to get traded next season, but I don't see that happening either. So we're basically going to have, you know, like you said, Carlos Marmol, except we've got a guy who, I forgot his name now, he came from Florida, the guy who wore the glasses, who was signed as a closer, who didn't really produce. So like you said, the bullpen's kind of a joke. Who was it?
Kevin Gregg.
Kevin Gregg. How could I forget that name? I must have blacked it out. You know, like you said, the bullpen isn't really producing. But how good is a bullpen when your World Series champion, you know, former World Series champions of now, 4 years ago. Pretty soon we're going to be like the Bears. You know, Wilson Contreras, you know, oh, batting average doesn't matter. Okay? Wilson Contreras, 233. Rizzo, 246. Nico Hoerner, number, you know, hot shot second baseman, 205. Jason Kipnis, you know, is at 355, so he's at least producing in that position. Javi Baez at a very, very low 203. Bodhi with a 200. Do I expect huge numbers out of Bodhi? No, but I expect him to continue to do well in the defensive position when they don't have what's his name? Chris Bryant next year, because you're going to need a guy to play that position. Kyle Schwarber had a beautiful 238. And I was wrong. Mike Trout only has 9 home runs, so he's not that far off.
Yeah.
But I feel like the hype, the whole thing that went around Kyle Schwarber, as a Cub fan, Kyle Schwarber should be the Cubs' Mike Trout, right? You know, Ian Happ is
I don't know.
But you know where I'm going. He should be. The hype that went around Kyle Schwarber, he should be the Chicago Cubs' Mike Trout. And he is not going to live up to that. And as I was about to bring up Ian Happ's name, he just hit a solo home run. He's the guy at the top of the mountain batting 310. He's the only one producing. And this is the guy I didn't even expect to be on the Major League team this year. So, you know, Hayward's brought his numbers up.
When you said he was the only one producing, I got confused.
Well, you know, when you look at it, of all the guys, nobody expects anything out of Happ and Hayward, and maybe even Caratini, and they're the only ones who are hitting the ball. To say that they're the reason they're winning, I can't really argue with that, because between Happ and Hayward, he's got 11 RBI, and Javi Baez, another one with 10, you know, a meaningless number that doesn't mean anything. And they've also crossed the plate, you know, forward crossed the plate a lot. But, you know, where do you put the blame? I mean, is it the fact that they have another hitting coach? You know, we're having a Chicago Bears problem, or Jay Cutler got a new offensive coordinator every year. Cubs have had a new hitting coach every single year. But, you know, apparently it's working out for Jason Hayward this year. So, I mean, where is the problem?
Yeah, you know, I'm just really tired of this team disappointing me. You know, I was actually interested when they came out of the gate, and I'm like, okay, you know, they're playing like this is how this team should have been playing since 2015. Mm-hmm. You know, but then now I'm starting to wonder if maybe it was just the schedule and they got lucky. So I don't know if, you know, that was it or how it kind of worked out. But, yeah, I have so little confidence in this team. It's, you know, I mean, they're difficult to watch. And, you know, I honestly just probably won't, because I don't want to waste my time and get frustrated. I have, you know, enough issues to deal with that I don't need to come down to my stress level. But, yeah, I don't get it anymore. I mean, I'm tired of looking at a team with talent up and down the lineup. And, I mean, legitimately, they're 1-9 now with the DH is as good as anybody's in the league. And I would probably say, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It's probably a top 3 lineup in all of baseball. And it's just an embarrassment the way they play. You know, I mean, the ninth inning yesterday, I watched two guys flail away on pitches that they had no chance at hitting. You know, why the hell not make some contact so we can get a runner on because we're down a run? Well, because, you know, they sabermetrics tells me not to, and I need to hit a home run. You know, and then the excitement was, you know, the excitement out of the ninth inning, Dan, was I got an email from Sean Burke Stew telling me how hard Nico Hoerner hit the ball. I'm like, who gives a shit? He hit it right at the center fielder. It's an out. Yeah, well, you know, he made really good contact.
Faith.
So.
Well, I mean, do
you know, that,
do
you
think
the
part of
comment was, well, Chris Bryant was on deck, so it wouldn't have mattered. Okay.
So, I mean, you know, how much of a blame do you put on the front office, though? So, you know, we already talked about Craig Kimbrell kind of being a disappointment. I don't know if, say just kind of. But not only that, I mean, over the last couple of years, where has any signing really been a support for the guys that were, you know, part of that world, the core, so to speak? Where, you know, what signing has been made to help support that core? I haven't seen one. Every signing that Theo's made over the last 3 years has been all these smartest guy in the room picks. Ooh, you landed Steven Souza Jr. and he hit his first home run this weekend. BFD, this guy hasn't barely even been able to play an entire season in 4 years. Daniel DeSalvo.
When you look at Theo's signings, they didn't want to spend money. You know, because, you know, they got Steven Souza for next to nothing. They got Jason Kipnis for next to nothing. You know, even DeScalzo, who God only knows if he'll play this year, you know, they got him on a 2-year deal for literally no money. So for whatever reason, they're not spending money. But what they've got to figure out, and I don't know what they looked at in the off season that made them think this was a proper bullpen. All right, for whatever reason, they didn't want to pay Pedro Strop, even though he's, you know, he's one of the best setup guys in the game, and you know he actually did a decent job closing for them last year when they needed it, even though he's never had much luck as a closer. But he was too expensive, so you let him go. You've been really lucky with Jeffress because you got to remember he flamed out in Milwaukee last year. That's why they let him go.
Yeah.
Terrible there. So, you know, you seem to have kind of caught a break there. But, you know, other than that, I mean, what is it? The guy closing now, is it Wick? Kyle Wick or Ryan Wick or whoever's doing the closing? He, you know, he's been a nice surprise. But obviously, you didn't want him to be a surprise because it's supposed to be Craig Kimbrell's job. You know, but, you start to look at the rest of this construction. You know, the guys they're using, Ryan Tapia, Casey Sadler, Kyle Ryan. Have you heard of any of these guys before?
No.
You know, Colin Rich, Dan Winkler. You know, at least we knew Dwayne Underwood because he came up through the system.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're getting these guys that there's, and it's Rowan Wick is closing. I couldn't figure it out. But, you know, we're getting these guys that, They're either journeymen or they never were anybody, and Theo's just kind of expecting them to come in and find magic and be able to get guys out. And it, you know, every once in a while you get a guy who catches lightning in a bottle, which is what I'm kind of afraid Rowan Wick has done right now, and let's just hope it keeps going. But yeah, that doesn't happen. I mean, you know, there's a reason why Ryan Tapia is 32 and hasn't really had a full-time big league job. You know, nothing against him. I mean, he's made it to the level. He's done a lot more than what a whole bunch of other people will do. But he's, you know, he was with the Blue Jays. He's a journeyman reliever. Is all he is. He's not Pedro Strop. You know, even though I think Strop is hurt and hasn't pitched this year, so I guess that really wouldn't matter. But, you know, my point is you were looking for somebody along those lines. And, you know, so when you're looking for blame, this all goes on Theo. You know, this is all Theo. He put the team together. David Ross just moved the chess pieces around. Theo's the one who gives you what to play with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the beat the head beat the dead horse moment. Cubs won the World Series in 2016. I don't know if you had this argument in 2017, but I can say that for 2018, 19, and coming into this offseason, or prior to this season, your biggest complaint about the Cubs has been the bullpen. And it's just it's very interesting that, you know, two guys that are just on the phone can have the smallest insight on a team and what needs to be addressed, and it really hasn't been addressed with the exception of picking up Jeffries.
Well, you know, and you look at like what, you know, you look at like what great teams have done, you know, or what teams that, you know, are going to be there done. You know, the Yankees, they go out and they sign Zach Britton, even though they have a Walter Chapman, who, by the way, I think comes back today. So Chapman goes down, you've got Britton who can close, but when Chapman's there, Britton becomes the setup guy. They added Adam Ottavino, who was one of the best setup guys in the game in Colorado. You know, they picked up Tommy Kahnle from the White Sox, who was just, you know, could throw the ball through a brick wall. And, you know, they taught him some control, made him a quality setup guy. Unfortunately, he got hurt. But, you know, they built a bullpen. You know, here's what the Cubs did, Dan. Jeremy Jeffress is making $850,000 this year. Believe it or not, Ryan Tepper in arbitration got $900,000. Dan Winkler's got $750,000. Kyle Ryan's making $975,000. Rowan Wick's getting $571,500. While the Yankees spent money and built a bullpen, Theo looked for the absolute cheapest options he could find to bring in and fill his roster spots. You know, was it because did the Cubs not want to pay the luxury tax? Or what?
Well, yeah, he doesn't want to pay luxury tax because that means you lose your draft picks.
Right. So he's hanging on to his precious draft pick while he's pitching away opportunities with a team that should be winning World Series. And yes, I mean plural World Series. I've said this before. The fact that they have won one World Series with this team is a complete embarrassment. So don't tell me what a great front office guy he is. And I know him and Joe Maddon will be legends in Chicago forever because they won a World Series with a team that hadn't. It's embarrassing that they haven't competed since then. Just flat out. Because we're going to live off this one World Series, and then when it's, you know, 2036, just like the Bears, hey, the Bears won the Super Bowl in 1985. Yeah, it's 2020. Do you guys know that? Hey, the Cubs won the World Series in 2015. Yeah, it's 2034. Has anybody figured that out yet?
Yeah. Well, you know, and then, but the White Sox, blah, blah, blah. You know, the messed up part is the White Sox weren't supposed to win.
Right. So, you know, and God forbid the White Sox with this young win one before the Cubs can get back. How embarrassing would that be?
Ultra embarrassing. I mean, you've got a team just of young, raw talent. And, you know, one of the major pieces is a guy who should still be on the Chicago – should be on the Chicago Cubs starting in left field in replace of – Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah.
Or possibly center? No.
Yeah, you know, and that, you know, how much would that make it worth? You know, they gave up, not only did they give up Eloy Jimenez, they gave up Dylan Cruz, who is, you know, been decent in a couple starts this year to get Jose Quintana. Yeah. How's that? You know, and I know all trades are 2020, you know, in hindsight. How's that looking now? You making that trade again now, Dan, that you've seen seen Jimenez and Cease play at the major league level?
No, I wasn't making that trade when I seen Jimenez playing as a future All-Stars. You know, and that was my thing. You look at it, Big Jack, I'm sorry. I get it. Guy Art covers. You got the great Bambino on your, reincarnated. I was like, no. Quintana, Schwarber, straight up. Let's just get it done and over with. You'd be sitting in a lot better position.
Yeah, you brought that up. The fact that they didn't move Schwarber after the World Series when his value was the highest just really proved, where Theo sits. When you're Theo's guy, you don't have anything to worry about unless Scott Boras is your agent. Because if Scott Boras wasn't Chris Bryant's agent, Chris Bryant wouldn't be going anywhere.
No. He would have taken it.
Yeah, the only thing he's going any place is because Scott Boras is his agent.
Well, and here's the thing. Scott Boras is essentially the bad guy, right? In this situation, how do you feel like you're kind of on Boras' side, no? Yeah, he's got a smart agent.
I'll never be on Scott Boras' side, but I understand he's doing his job. If I was a player, I would love to have him representing me. You look at the money he gets these guys. The only thing that would get to me is if he couldn't get me signed before spring training. Because he killed Jake Arrieta by not getting him signed before spring training. He's had a couple other guys, Henry Morales, Stephen Drew, guys like that missed half a season because he couldn't get them signed. That would be my one bit of contention with him. Would be I'm a player. I'm a baseball player. I need to be playing baseball. You get me signed. But, other than that, he gets guys their money. He's going to get Chris Bryant his money. Chris Bryant is going to get 10 years and $300 million or something. It won't be the Cubs, but it'll be somebody.
Yeah.
Not a Scott Boras fan, but, it's a guy who, he does his job. That's what he's paid to do by the player, and that's what he does, and I hate it. But, again, that's what he's supposed to do. So we'll see. But, yeah, it's just, I don't get, I get so done with this team that it's just completely frustrating, watching them play over the weekend and their ability to do the simplest parts of the game because the game has kind of turned that way. Just drive me bananas. runner on second, I'm going to ground out to the shortstop. Yeah, that helped my team. Great. Thanks. Now he's still second base. You could have grounded out to the second baseman and moved him over. You could have not struck out. That would have really helped, too.
Yeah, and, before we run out of time here, I was going through some videos on MLB.TV on my Roku TV, and I caught a This Week in Baseball from 1977. And, obviously production, the whole nine is 100 times different, but the thing that stuck out to me the most with guys hitting baseballs.
Yeah.
And not swinging for the fences on every swing. You know what I mean? It was so different. And I get it. The game has to evolve, but I'm sorry, you cannot, there's got to be some kind of incorporation of that old style. To sit there and watch guys back-to-back-to-back get hits. It was pretty cool for the White Sox to do their four home runs in a row. But, what's the record for four hits in a row on a consistent basis.
So, all right, well, look at that, dancing up right up to the end. So we're not even going to have time to play the music or say goodbye, but we'll be back tomorrow. So say goodbye again.
Good. Roll out.